This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
Bless His name this evening for the mighty things He's doing in our midst. Thank Him for the encounters. Thank Him for the transformation. Thank Him for the empowerment. Bless His name. Honor Him. Thank You, Father. We give You praise. We give You glory. Again, we ask that You visit us with the mighty visitation of Your presence, such as transforms, such as illuminates, and such as empowers, that our lives will begin to issue out heavier dimensions of glory, even as Your name is extolled. Take all the praise, take all the glory, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. I'm tempted to flow in that river. But time, the way it's moving, you have to be careful. One thing that happens when the presence of God becomes thick is the fact that you become unconscious as to the motions of time. And so we need a lot of maturity to regulate our spiritual engagements within the context of time, even as we strive to achieve profitability. And so the little time we have, we trust God to do a quick work and to cut it short in righteousness. Have you been blessed tonight? Have you been blessed tonight? You know, the emphasis of God and the burdens in the heart of God that necessitated the emergence of this move was an attempt to raise a tribe. This is not a move born out of man's ambition. This is a strategy in the heart of God, furnished from a deep burden to raise a tribe of people that know Him experientially. Not a people who are told about God, but people that have encountered Him. John, speaking in 1 John chapter 1, he said, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have looked upon, but," he said, "our hands have handled." So there is a time when you hear about God, there's a time when you encounter God, and there's a time when you handle of the word of life. And so it's no longer a story you are told. It's a life and an experience that you walk in on a daily basis. And so the burden in the heart of God is to raise a people that know Him experientially. And on the strength of that experiential knowledge, they begin to manifest the fullness of their eternal ordinations. He said, "Before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. And I ordained you to be a prophet." So before we walked on the face, on the plane of time, something was written in the chronicles of heaven. And so it is the desire of God for us to manifest all of it before we leave. Not too many people at the end of their sojourn on the face of the earth had the boldness to say it is finished. Some said it, but it was not chronicled. And some said it was chronicled. Just to let us know it was possible to finish your course. And for you to finish your course, you must have read it. You must have been aware of the scope of your purpose. That's the only basis by which you can say it is finished. Jesus on the cross of Calvary looked up to heaven and He said, "It is finished." So all the dots and commas, all the T's have been crossed. The assignment is over. Now I can ascend. And Paul said the same in 2 Timothy 4, verse 7 to 8. He said, "I've fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished my course." So there are people who finish. And for you to finish, it means you know what was written and you lived it. So our burden, which we crystallize from the heart of God, is to raise a people that know him experientially and live out that which was written concerning them in the volumes of the books. And as you do this, you will discover that there is a growth pattern that is initiated in your spirit. And so you migrate from a child. All of us become children the moment we receive the life of God. What it takes to be a child is to receive the DNA of God. That's what salvation is about. I told you that at the new birth, what happened was that you received the life of God. You didn't give your life to Christ because you didn't even have any life to give. You were dead in sin. And so what happened at salvation was the receipt of the life of God. Are we together? However, now that you have received of God, that you have something to offer, in consecration, God demands your life. When these two transactions take place, a maturity is initiated. And that maturity brings you to a place of sonship. And so a son in the kingdom is not a male gender. There are three major definitions of sonship in the kingdom. The first is that you bear the image of the Father. That means character-wise, you resemble God. He said Christ is the express image of his person. And he introduced him as a son in Hebrews chapter 1. He said, God who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets and hath in this last day spoken unto us by his son. How did he define that son? He said, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image. So anybody who can showcase the essence of God is a son. Praise God. The second definition of a son is one who is led by the Spirit. In Romans 8:14, he said, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. So a son is not a male gender. A son is one who images God. And a son is one who is led of God. And finally, a son is one who follows and submits to the government or the chastening of the Lord. He said, if ye are sons, then you will endure the chastening of the Lord. Otherwise, you will be bastards. And so a son is one who images God, follows the leading of the Spirit, and submits to the tutelage and the dealings of the Father. When you attain that level, two manifestations are possible. Only two manifestations are possible in your life. The first is that you become a priest. Because this kingdom is not for Christians. We are called Christians by the people of the world, but that's not what God had in mind. What God had in mind was a race of priests. In Exodus chapter 19, verse 4 to 6, he said, I've made you a race of priests, a kingdom of priests. Peter reiterated it in 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. When Jesus resurrected in Revelation 1:6, he said, he has washed us in his blood and made us priests and kings. And so when a man becomes a son, the sign is that he begins to bear the burdens of the Lord, ministering to God's Spirit. That is what makes you a priest in God's kingdom. That means you live only to satisfy the will of the Father. You no longer sustain an opinion on any matter. Whatever you want to do, you check with heaven to find out God's perspective and God's stand on the matter. And whether your choice or your will or your opinion aligns with it, it doesn't matter. You will always choose the will of God. And then when you become a priest, you also become a king. It is in the context of the king that the judicial authority to advance the frontiers of the kingdom are bequeathed unto a believer. And so our goal is to raise priests, kings, and prophets. And this evening, I think I'm encouraged. Because I have not seen a young lady talking the oracles of God. I've seen a son, a priest, and a king. Give Jesus a big hand. Sister Carissa Eria. The things you heard this evening, people paid thousands of dollars to receive them. For those of you who work in corporate organizations, you know some of these things. And the level of boldness, articulation, this is the delivery of a consultant. Consultants, they are the ones that operate like this. And so our spiritual engagement is to put pressure on that which is in your spirit until it begins to manifest. That's why we put them through prayer, rigors of prayer, fasting, instructions, is to stir a river. There's a river locked up there. He says, as many as believe, out of their belly shall flow rivers of living waters. And so we've been watered by the fountains of God that dwells in the bosom of his handmaiden. One more time, can you celebrate the grace of God upon Sister Carissa? So very soon, my services on the Tuesday service will no longer be necessary. You know, the apostolic operation is to bring government. The government of God comes upon the lives and destinies of people, forcing them to align to the move of the Spirit. And when people are fine-tuned to that move of the Spirit, the next thing is to give them platform so they can bless a generation. If I'm the only person teaching, then the ministry will be grossly limited. And so as these graces begin to speak and we can attest for their character, because character is important. If she does this thing 4 or 5 times, she will start having invitation to Lagos, to Port Harcourt, to Canada, to United Kingdom. If she is not a son, she will now start seeing opportunities in it. Coming for Bible study will become a burden. Because she will travel and speak somewhere, and a CEO of an NGO, where are you from? Come and talk to my leaders. And she will talk for 1 hour. They will give her 5 million naira. She will now say, what have I been doing in the last 10 years? So you first of all bring them under government, so they know it's the will of God that is first. And so no matter how high God takes them, they will submit to authority and they will function within the context of the kingdom. Hallelujah. So she's gone through some level of dealing and we can attest for her character. And so we will see more of her. Because of the excellency of that delivery, the clip will be cut off, and then by 12 p.m. tomorrow, it will be aired on all the platforms. We will keep pushing. Every time you hear about women, it's Catherine Coleman. We thank God for Catherine Coleman. But Paul said, according as it is written, they believe and have spoken. We, having the same spirit of faith, we believe and also speak. So we need to hear about the rising of the new stars. And this is one of them. You will soon get busy. Ah! Dear Lord. Meanwhile, you will hear the part two. This one is introduction. Brother Reward gave us some tantalizers last week, Tuesday. He will continue with the part two. Sister Carissa will come. Then we will now bring more people from the quivers. The quiver is made of many arrows. It says, children are the heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. He said, blessed is a man whose quiver is full of them. He will not be afraid of the enemy at the gate. There are many arrows. Maybe we'll hear from Chizokam on the principles of wealth creation. You will see some things. You will be mistaken to think these are young people or these are girls. They are not. The Bible said in Isaiah 33 verse 6, it says, wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times. So when you have wisdom and knowledge, it will be an error to judge your age from chronology. Your age now is in light. Because when you talk from the ancient nature of the light that you emit. And so we have many moments, many flavors, and many fragrances. But one more time, celebrate Jesus for this woman of God. You know, when your seasons come, many things begin to happen at the same time. She will be shocked. What will happen to her in the next 3 months? The impact will be more than the last 10 years. Because it's your season that makes you appreciate process. For 10 years, nobody cares about you. Then in 3 months, the whole world is scavenging, trying to seep of the waters that come out of your spirit. You now wonder, what was happening? God was refining you. God is refining you. Refining you. You are blessed. Before I delve into scriptures this evening, I will just speak for 40 minutes. I will reduce the scope of my teaching tonight and just do introduction. I want to teach on the doctrine of power. The doctrine. You know, we are dealing with doctrines. But before I delve into it, let's salute two warlords. These are spiritual warlords. Come on. These are spiritual warlords. Can you project some of the pictures of these young ancients? If you look at their size, you are in error. This is Evangelist Dixon. You can see their impact on the screen. This is Evangelist Dixon. And this is Evangelist Davidson. They are my sons from the city of Jos. These ones have turned that city upside down. Okay, they are some souvenirs. Crutches. Their souvenirs are crutches. They shook. That's the scope. I've not seen evangelists as rugged as these two guys. I've not seen evangelists. From January to May, they organize crusades. And sometimes on a weekly basis. And the moment the rain stop from September, they activate it. Every week, they win souls in thousands. Every week. This is not the game of numbers. They are pictures. They send pictures every week. Where do they get the energy from? There are some crusades they go for in Jos. Bandits attack. They begin to speak in tongues to make sure people go safely. The next day they will come back. Are you seeing that picture? That's their signature. Crowd and power. Everybody in Jos know these ones. And all the demons know them. When they are coming, demons expel. Doing a massive work in the city of Jos, and they've come to draw grace and to share fellowship. Once upon a time, they were pulling crowds, prophesying. And they told me they want to see more miracles. Power. We prayed together, they went. It's been from glory to glory. It's been from glory to glory. These are the kinds you support with resources, you support with prayer. Because their heart, they are sold out. They've given more than 3 cars. The moment they get a seed, they sell it and pump it into crusades. The moment they get a seed, they've given more than 3 cars. Somebody is now looking at them. Look at them well. You didn't see correctly. The other time I gave them 1 million, I said, take this one, do something. Before I reach Abuja from Jos, the money went for crusade. It's like they are allergic to money. The moment it comes, they are thinking souls. These are noblemen. These are warriors of the last day. And so we will partner with them to strengthen their hands. They are in need of many equipments. And so I will invite them again, maybe next month. And then we'll take time to properly do a partnership for them. At least we should give them 10 million. Let them get some stable things. If you find 10 of their kind, this country will be on fire. And they will address us when next they come. Kneel down, let's pray for you. Speak over them as a house. Let them go with the corporate blessing of this house. These ones are servants of Jesus. They are servants. Servants of Jesus Christ. Dogged, devoted, truthful, completely yielded, full of power. Kai. Prophesy over them. Every virtue in your spirit, release it upon them. They've seen the crowds. They've seen thousands coming to the kingdom. They've seen signs. They've seen wonders. But there is more. Speak more over them. Paul said, I commend you to God and unto the word of his grace, which is able to keep you and to give you an inheritance amongst them that are sanctified. Ask that they will step into their inheritance in the kingdom. Mm. as you go with grace. You go with wisdom. You go with power. You go with favor. You go with speed. Such as I have, and such as the Lord has bestowed upon us as a people, I release upon you now. Step into new grace and new realms. Thank you, Father. Unto Yeshua, who reigns forever. Lift your hands toward heaven.
Reign forever. To his kingdom there'll be no way. Holy Yeshua, holy Yeshua, reign forever. To his kingdom. Holy Yeshua, who reign forever, to his kingdom. Holy Yeshua, who reign forever, to his kingdom.
Father, we give you praise. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We bless your name. In Jesus' name. Please be seated. The scope of my time is reduced. Brother Reward was teaching us on time management. So let's manage time. So if you don't have time, heighten the intensity. And then what should have happened in 1 hour can happen in 5 minutes. So let's focus on intensity. Praise God. And so very quickly, I want to do an introduction into another doctrine that will start tonight. We've looked at four simple basic doctrines that helps and aids for a victorious living. I looked at the doctrine of forgiveness. I looked at the doctrine of righteousness. I looked at the doctrine of sanctification. And I looked at the doctrine of consecration. And I told us, in order to really come into victory in life, these four basic doctrines, must be established. If you don't understand the doctrine of forgiveness, you can't have a relationship with God. Because all your spiritual engagements will be an attempt to receive approval through performance. And your standards will never match God's standards. And so in the context of the doctrine of forgiveness, we were made to understand the unconditional love of God. And so everything we do is no longer to receive God's approval, but to enjoy fellowship. Because we were already approved on the strength of the finished works of Christ. If you don't understand the doctrine of righteousness, you will not have audacity to operate in the realm of God. Why forgiveness shows you God's love and brings you into God's love and relationship, righteousness brings you to an understanding that this love of God is not just an admission into God's realm, but is a right. If I ask you to come in, you may just predicate all of that action on my benevolence. But when I tell you, your coming in now is not just based on my benevolence, it's now your right. I've given you something much more than acceptance. And so in righteousness, God enhances the operation a bit further. And so our relationship with God is no longer a function of privilege. It's now a right because of righteousness. Because in the context of righteousness, there's a royal declaration that now you are justified because of the finished works of Christ. And God doesn't stop there. God recreates in you a new man. And so Ephesians 4:24 said, put on the new man which is recreated in Christ Jesus after righteousness and true holiness. So God made you righteous after he declared you righteous. So when you show up, it's not just a privilege. You now have the right to participate among the ranking princes in the realm of God. But God does not stop there. Because it's one thing to have God's nature and so have the ability to live right. it's another thing to live right for God. Because you can have that authority and live right, but not live for God. And so in order for you not just to live right, but to live for God, God now introduced another equation called sanctification. And so in sanctification, God secludes you to live for Him alone. The word sanctification is the word hagiazo. That's where holiness was gotten from. And so while in righteousness, God gives you His nature and bequeaths you the authority to be able to function in His realm and to live right as a consequence of that which was done in your spirit, God also expects that you don't just live right, but you live for Him. And so living for Him is a technology in the spirit called sanctification. And so the Holy Spirit was given to seclude your spirit man to be operated only by God, according to Ephesians 1:13. And then the Holy Spirit and the Word continually works in you to renew and to reprogram your soul. So you are no longer conformed to the patterns of the Word, but on the strength of renewal, you start living for God. And then ultimately at rapture, when the Spirit of God is intensified, your body will be transfigured, or what we call transubstantiation. And so your body will only be operated by God. However, while God is doing that, He also expects cooperation in you. Because when it had to do with salvation, it was a spirit business. But now that your soul and your body is involved, God will require partnership from you. Now, that reasonable response to the protocol of sanctification that makes you partner with the Holy Ghost and the Word in order to be able to live for God is what we now call consecration. Are we together? And so absolute victory is a function of your understanding of forgiveness, righteousness, sanctification, and consecration. And I told you, if you understand forgiveness and you don't understand consecration, you will become lascivious. Because you will just be deluded with the notion that whatever you do, you already accepted, so you can do what you want. But God did not forgive you so you can do what you want. That would have been God destroying you utterly. Are we together? God forgave you for you to become like Him. And so in addition to the understanding of righteousness, you need forgiveness, you need consecration. And I said, on the other hand, if you understand consecration and you don't understand forgiveness, you will become a legalist. It will now be all about your effort, about your track record, about your stature. You will no longer give credence to the grace of God. And you know the Bible said, this glory is in earthen vessels, that the excellency might be of God and not of man. And so in order for you not to be a legalist, thinking you can stand by your own ability, God gives you a foundation of forgiveness, letting you know that everything you can ever be is a function of what He has done. And in order for you also not to be too lascivious, God expects that now that He has done everything, you have to cooperate with the dictates of His Spirit in order to become that which is legally completed in your spirit. This balance is what brings a thorough furnishing to the believer as he attempts to walk in victory. However, there are external forces that negate the quality of your life. This is why when God is doing that which is ultimately on your inside, there are also other spiritual protocols that you need to subject yourself to in order to have external victories. Because when the devil is fighting you on your job, you will need something else other than forgiveness. That thing that has been worked into you, you will need to work it out. The one you work out is what we call power. Because if there's no power, you will be righteous, but you will be poor. If there's no power, you will be righteous, but you will be defeated. If there's no power, you will be righteous and you will be irrelevant. In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said, the thief cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. So the devil has a threefold agenda. If he doesn't succeed in killing you, he will steal from you. If he doesn't succeed in stealing from you, he will destroy you utterly. Are we together? He said, but I am come that you might have life, and life to the full. So these are two spirits trying to bring you victory or destruction, as the case may be. The devil wants to destroy, God wants to establish. And so we need to understand how to deploy the resources of the realm of God in order to actualize that which God has in mind. In fact, in 1 Peter 5:8, it said the devil prowls like a roaring lion. So the business is a serious matter to the devil. He's running everywhere looking for every opportunity to kill. This is why Paul said in Ephesians 4:27, giving no place to the devil, because this man is operating like a lion. He wants to kill. He wants to destroy. He has hunger to see men destroyed. But the only thing we need to do to keep him at bay is to bring power into the equation. Because when power comes, his agenda will become futile. For the Bible said, if a strong man keeps his house, he said his goods are in safety. The only time his goods will be at risk or endangered position is when the one coming is stronger than him. And so the idea behind the doctrine of power is to grow in power, to secure your context, to secure your boundary, so that the agenda of God for your life will find fruition and will find expression. And so if there is no power, the believer is an endangered species. This is why Paul summarized the whole gospel in Romans 1:16. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He called it what? The power. And so, if you don't want to say the gospel, you can also say the power. You are correct. He said, for the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. When Jesus was about to ascend, he told them in Luke 24:49, I know you have been discipled. You have learned some things. You know some principles. But tarry until you are endued with power. The creatures that are coming, it's only power they understand. The simplest language to speak in the demonic realm is the language of power. And so if you don't have power, your principles will fail you. Your wisdom will fail you. So tarry. Don't go and say, my teacher is Jesus Christ. If you don't have power, you will embarrass this, your teacher. I've taught you all that needs to be taught. But tarry until you are endued with power from on high. Now, Jesus went and came back after 40 days. You know, he still taught them about the kingdom for 40 days. When he was about to ascend finally, he still told them, not many days from now, Acts 1:8, you shall receive the Holy Ghost, not and wisdom. Yes, the Holy Ghost furnishes wisdom, not and favor. The Holy Ghost furnishes favor. But what is most urgent is power. He said, you will receive the Holy Ghost and power, and you shall be witnesses unto me. So the only way you can fulfill destiny in grand style is when power is added to your quiver. Hope you know that even the Son of God could not fulfill destiny except as he returned in the power of the Spirit. Jesus was walking in Nazareth for 30 years. The Bible introduced him in John chapter 1 as God, as creator, as life, and as light. But he couldn't fulfill destiny for 30 years. The moment Luke 4:14-15, Matthew 4:15 introduced power, he entered the temple and destiny was activated immediately. He said, and he returned in the power of the Spirit. And he said, according as it is written by Isaiah the prophet, the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people that sat in darkness have seen a great light. So you mean all the while that Jesus was walking, his presence had no impact. His presence had no implication. Zebulun was still in darkness until he came with the rod of power. The moment power came, prophecies began to speak volumes in the dimension that subjugates the operations of darkness. And this same Jesus that went in and out of the synagogue quietly, at best asking and answering questions, suddenly returned to the synagogue, this time with power. And he carried the scrolls of Isaiah. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me. The utterance has changed. This time around is no longer a bargain. This one is commandment. Because power had come. And so if you will fulfill your destiny audaciously, you need to understand how power works. And so tonight, I want to give us an introduction into the dynamics of power. And so three things that will make up my introduction is, number one, definition of terms. Number two will be the levels of power. And then number three will be the dimensions of power. Then we will stop here, because this one is basic. If you know these ones, you can do some things. If we are able to do these three, then maybe next week I will go to deeper syllables of power. Are you ready? So let's begin with definition of terms. I'll read one scripture because of our time. Definition. This song. Sing it one time. is anointing my soul.
Holy is you, Lord, will reign forever. To his kingdom there be no way. Holy is you, Lord.
Because of what you people created before I came, my soul is now entering the economy or the atmosphere. Now, I can use what they created to change somebody's story. That's why you need understanding. You can read the movements of the spirit. And when certain operations begin in your soul, you will know how to channel it. Let me show you something. My soul has been anointed because the moment you played that song, there's an anointing that came with that song. My soul, it began to draw my soul. If I begin to sing it again and again, the intensity will start growing. And I can do more. But with this little that came into my spirit, let me show you something. Don't be distracted. Just close your eyes and relax. I want to channel this energy I'm feeling now to touch somebody. Just to help you understand something. You know, it's doctrine of power, so it's good to show some things. I can channel it for healing. I can channel it for favor. And I can also use it to activate grace. A grace in somebody's life. Father, by the spirit of the living God, by the instrumentality of words, now I release this power. Aya mahela fire elekuma harakada azezana mande karia efefalila hatakai eya ah.
Holy
Yeshua,
holy
Yeshua,
holy
Yeshua,
holy Yeshua,
holy Yeshua,
Mambra tepe kesuzi, aferagata zinatai, Mambra dalagados.
You'll be invincible. Now, I want to break a yoke of somebody's life.
Somebody, you've been in one cycle for at least 10 years. Because of what I'm sensing now, I can break that thing. It's an energy. Father, everyone held in one spot, I decree now, let an anointing that engenders speed, an anointing that moves men, an anointing that orchestrates transition. Let it rest. Take that grace now. In 7 days, 7, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, I end that cycle and I decree a new beginning. Take that power. Help that sister. A cycle just ended. A new cycle has been created by the Holy Ghost. I move you forward.
Abrate fica sarus. To his kingdom there'll be no way. Holy Yeshua, you reign forever. To his kingdom there'll be no way. Holy Yeshua,
I want to bring wealth into somebody's space. Wealth by favor.
The Bible said God gave favor to the Israelites and they spoiled the Egyptians. Because there are possibilities opening. Father, now I break the yoke of poverty and I open the gate. I open the gate for wealth by the instrumentality of favor. Whoever that one is now, by the Holy Ghost, Paketo Sakatia, Barakata, Setinas, Peras, Peras, I bring it into your space. Just like the quails came into the camp of the Israelites, just like manna came into the camps of the Israelites, and they were in heaps and thrones. By the Holy Ghost, now I bring the forces of wealth. I bring the forces of wealth into your space, and I break poverty and stagnation.
So his kingdom now be in our way.
Unto Yeshua, who reigns forever.
Fire. To his kingdom there be no way.
Somebody will receive a gift that is more valuable than every possession everybody in your lineage put together have. It will come. You will not work for it. It will be a gift come to you by free cost. I release that weight of favor, that investment of favor that provoked that kind of operation by the Spirit of God. Step into that order. Tonight, they will make you become a commander. If you know, something can just float through the atmosphere in a moment, and you can alter the possibility of 7 years in a moment. It takes understanding. Sit down. Since it's Bible study, let's stop here. It's Bible study. If you know how these things work, the Bible said, as the wind bloweth, as it listeth, it said, no man knoweth from whence it cometh or where it goeth. It says, so are they that are born by the Spirit of God. It is mysteries and spiritual understanding that make us become like the wind. This, my brother, prayed in tongues today for about 8 hours. I went out, he was praying. I came back, he was praying. I was very busy tidying up some things. Started praying from morning. I came back in the evening, he was still praying in tongues. Now, that kind of prayer takes grace, because naturally you should be tired. And for you to keep praying like that, it means you are ascending. And so he kept praying. When it was 5:20, because I had to rush in by 4 to do a little bit of study before coming out. When it was 5:20, I went and called him. Said, let's go. As he wanted to go, I went and opened the gate. He wanted to open, I refused. I opened the gate. When we wanted to go, he felt I would sit at the back. I came and opened the door for him to sit down and closed it. I sat in front. I entered the economy he created through honor. Because I know that he was in an ascended state. And so I didn't pray for 7 hours, but I partook of that economy. Because I discerned what was happening around him. And the moment I honored him, there are things we need to know. You now come, you're attacking people. People that are operating at an energy level. You don't want to go far. But let's do a teaching. Let me do Bible study. So you know how evil people who are under you, you can draw from them. Somebody can go for VG and come back. He's tired as he's sleeping. You go and boil hot water. The moment the person wakes up, serve him water, say shower. When he showers, get him something to eat. You have entered something. It's called equation. It's the spiritual equation. It's the doctrine of power. Power. There are those you generate and there are those you draw. And there are different technologies. That's why I said, I will enter the complex one, but let's do basic first. Let's do basic. Let's do some. Ah! Dear Lord Jesus, I want to teach from a note so we can keep to time. But there's a body. Let me migrate my document quickly. It's like some things are being depleted. Unto Yeshua, who reigns forever. Definition of terms. I will list six kinds of power. Six. We will do four tonight because four will help me explain levels and dynamics. Because those are the two major things I want to teach tonight. I want to teach you about the levels of power and the dynamics or the dimensions of power. Dimensions, not dynamics. All of this is the dynamics. So there are six kinds of power we'll be considering as we try to study the doctrine of power. The first kind of power is called Arche. Arche. Luke 20, verse 20. This kind of power is leadership, is preeminence, and is the ability to affect society. It's a kind of authority that makes you lead and to shape society. You know, power is not just about praying long or healing the sick or having encounters and visions. There's a kind of power that a man possesses that helps him to affect territories. That's the kind of power Joseph had. They can shape things because they deal with thrones and they can draw the virtues that are invested in thrones to shape civilizations and to renew the scope and the shape of territories. In Luke 20:20, he said, and they watched him and sent forth spies, which should feign themselves just men, that they might take hold of his word, that they might deliver him unto. Now, this was Jesus. They were monitoring him to pick his words, to take the words to. They now introduce us to a kind of power. This power has the ability to determine things in society. And so the word power here, they wanted to take Jesus to that power that has the ability to bind and to dictate for society. That was the power they wanted to take Jesus to. But they needed him to be caught off guard through the things he spoke so that he become legal for that power to exert its authority. So this kind of power is highly legalistic, but it is invested on thrones. So there is a power that thrones bear that makes what they say to become law in the territory. And I'll explain this to you. You can be a king and not reign. Solomon became a king. It took some years before Solomon began to reign. It is exousia that brings you to kingship. But reigning The ability to talk and society will respond. The ability to show up and society will honor you is a type of power. That power is tied to a throne, but it is not just about the throne. It's the ability to shape territory. So it makes you come first. So when you see a man who begins to stir a revolution, when you see a man, at least one is happening now, he has not entered the throne yet, but everywhere he goes to, everybody is singing his name. That kind of power is called Ake. And if that man ascends the throne, he can change things. That's why his message is, when I come, I will change the economy. Because that power, it arrests the hearts of men, commands their allegiance, and makes them submitted to you. Anything you do, they follow. Because you become first in rank. It's a kind of power. It's called Ake. This type of power is what we will deal with when we begin to deal with deeper dynamics. Because it deals with legalities, it deals with structures, it deals with wisdom, it deals with character. A lot is involved to be able to wield this kind of power. The reason some persons have exousia, they are in authority, but nobody respects them, is because they don't have a key. So a man can be in government, but all he's doing is marrying wives. Have you seen some kings in recent times that are only marrying wives? So a king that should be hallowed, they now look at him and say, all he's doing now is marrying. It's a king that marries. So he is in a place of authority, but he doesn't have honor. So there's exousia, but there's no ake. So when that kind of king speaks, people say, go sleep. Stop to make noise here. That's a king they are talking to. But there's another king that when he's coming, people will dress up and stand on the road just to wave him. Even if he talks, if it has not yet become a law, they will start doing it. So such kings don't talk. In fact, they are careful to tell you what they desire. Because if they just say, I desire this, people will kill themselves for it to happen. It's called a key. It's a type of power. But that power has a lot of dynamics. That's the power that makes you truly become influential and gives you the authority to shape a civilization. And the church must master this kind of power. But because it's not what we are dealing with tonight, let me define another one. Anakazo. Luke 14:23. He created a banquet, nobody came. He now said, go to the highway and compare. This one is a power that overrides your will. So there is a kind of power you can come into that when you talk, even if people don't like it, they have no choice. I give you a physical example. Somebody has a company. He puts CCTV cameras everywhere. They are still stealing. He comes and threatens them that if you steal, you will be fired. They are still stealing. In fact, he brings charms and plants in the office. They are still stealing. He will warn. They are still stealing. There's a power he lacks. The power that overrides the will of men. That anakazo is not there. Whereas there's another man that says, if you want to steal, steal. And everybody will advise themselves not to steal. They don't just want to imagine what will happen. Because that one is a compelling force. The moment you discern what the person wants, you enslave yourself to it. It's called anakazo. It's a type of power. And there's a technology for wielding this power. We will deal with that because this one too is a bit advanced. Then you have the common powers that we know. Okay, let me define another one before I come to the ones we know. There's a power called energio. Energio is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 6. It said, that selfsame spirit worketh in us. So this power gives you the ability to walk a dimension, to walk a protocol, to walk a reality. In fact, for you to be able to operate dunamis, for you to be able to operate exousia, for you to be able to operate iskus and kratos, you must first of all have energio. It's as energio begins to work in you that you begin to maximize dunamis. Everybody here, if you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, there's dunamis on your inside. But you may need another power to awaken dunamis. That's why you can't speak in tongues. You just lie down, you sleep. Even when you want to speak in tongues, you sleep and doze off. You want to read the Bible, you doze off. There is a power that activates. That is the power that works. That power is called energio. And there is a dynamic for awakening that power. So as we are dealing with the dynamics of power, the doctrine of power, we'll look at how to operate arche we'll look at how to operate an akazo, and we'll look at how to operate energio. These ones will give you advantages that will make you impactful in your generation and in your territory. But there are other dimensions of power that you need for everyday living. Very vital. Number one is exousia. Exousia is delegated authority or power of antonym. It is tied to a position. That's why I was using the office of a governor a moment ago. So that kind of power is related to a position. This is why the moment you were born again, you became exousiad. He said in John 1:12 that as many as received him, to them he gave the exousia to become the sons of God. So it is a right kind of power, positional kind of power that helps you to wield the authority of another. Are we together? It's called exousia. A policeman standing on the road, even if he has not eaten, if he stretches his hand, a trailer will stop. Naturally speaking, the trailer should be able to crush him. But what is operating with his exousia? It is the government that bestowed that authority on him. So when he lifts his hand, the trailer, even though the trailer is many tons heavier than the policeman, has much more energy. The prayer, the trailer will have to stop. Because, in fact, when you see some policemen, you will appreciate exousia. You are going to some places and you see, officer will come like this. Stop there! The smaller ones are more aggressive. You will now look at him, a giant will stand like this. Keep quiet! Sometimes, exousia is more glorified with soldiers. You see a soldier walking like this, and this soldier is at your waist. And then somebody who gyms will come with muscles. The soldier will say, do frog jump. He will carry himself and his muscles and be doing the frog jump. If he bucks the soldier, the person will faint. But the guy has exousia. So exousia doesn't have to do with inner strength. It is delegated. And so when your revelation begins to grow, you begin to grow in exousia. So you know how that power came and you know how to align with it. So it's an authority kind of power delegated upon you because of the position you have been brought into. This is why we had to be brought into a position with Christ to be able to operate exousia. And then you have what we call dunamis. Dunamis is inherent power and is the ability to create change. And so the policeman, even though he has exousia, if it's on the 7 days fast, he won't have energy to raise his hand. So one power authorizes him to be able to coordinate the affairs, but another power gives him the energy to first to come and walk the other power. So if the man is hungry, if he has not eaten for 14 days, even though raising his hand can stop a trailer, there will be no energy to raise the hand. So the ability to cause changes is a kind of power. That one is inherent and intrinsic. It's called dunamis. And then you have what we call ischus. Ischus and kratos are two kinds of power. But these kinds of power, they are like the foundations of exousia and dunamis. I will deal with them a bit more thorough. But the way it works is this. No. Ischus and kratos are the foundation of Kratos is the foundation of dunamis. Ischus is the foundation of exousia. Hold that in your mind. When I'm explaining dimensions, I will touch it better. And then you have what we call megatos. Megatos is a type of power that quantifies the outcomes of your manifestation. It's in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20. It's called mighty power, great power. So when Jesus was raised from the dead, he said megatos was at work. He said that was the power he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him in the right hand of God in heavenly places. So these are seven major dimensions of power, or eight major dimensions of power. But because I want to show you about levels of power, I will pick out four of them as a case study. So as I show you levels, I will also show you dimensions. So let's begin with levels. The reason levels are important is because you may have something, but you may not have it enough. And so that thing you have is actually the right thing you should have. But you are not getting the desired result because you don't have it enough. And so in the economy of power, every result has a measure. If the measure is not attained, the manifestation will not come. Even, at least almost all of us here, we've written exams before. There's such a thing called F9. When you have F9, it means zero. But actually, you score 39 points. But what will give you a pass is 40. So the person who scored 14 is the same as the person who scored 39. Because all of them don't have enough. In fact, the guy who scored 2 is same as the guy who scored 38. All of them are called F9. So there is a one mark that is so important. In order not to be grouped with the guy who scored 1, add 1 to 39. So you make 40. Because if you are not in 40, you are in F9. So there's no F9 that is better than the other. Everyone is what? F9. So that's how power works. There's a level you must attain to produce a result. Now, when you on your generator at home, you on the bulbs, you won't hear any sound from the gen. But the moment you plug electric heater, the gen will produce a different sound. And if the gen doesn't have sufficient KVA, the gen will what? Trip off. That means the gen can produce electricity, but it doesn't produce sufficient electricity to deal with heater. So you see some people, they wake up in the morning, somebody has headache, they pray for the person, headache goes, they confront cancer. The faith is good, but virtue has to flow. On the scale of faith, the lowest faith can deal with the highest problem. But the problem is that there are dynamics in this matter. In Luke 6:19, when they taught Jesus, Jesus didn't know. So Jesus' faith was not working. He said virtue went out of him. So it was the virtue that healed the people, not his faith. And most of the things you deal with is virtue that will go to work. You will only deploy faith when you are conscious. And there are many things happening in and around your life that you are not conscious of. So you need virtue in sufficient measure to deal with those things. You have sufficient power to run a kiosk. God now gives you a vision, like Sister Carissa was teaching, to start a supermarket. The demons that fight people who have supermarkets, the aggression with which they come is different from the ones who manage or battle with people who have kiosks. And so as you are going to supermarket level, you need more capacity. If you don't have more capacity, you'll be shocked that all the business ideas you had that made your kiosk the most excellent kiosk. Have you gone to some kiosks before? They put some lights, they put chandelier, they put standing fan. You now say, I've mastered the art of trading. You go into a mall. You will suddenly discover you start struggling. What is the problem? There's not enough power. You need to generate more power to deal with that matter. Because you can light bulb in one room. If the room becomes 50, you need a mechanic. The generator that lights that bulb in one room can't light 50 rooms. So in the natural, we understand it, but in the spirit, we don't. That's why we struggle. We don't know that powers are in levels. Kai, this teaching is not for today. Let's praise Jesus and go. See the time. Hey! Somebody should speak to this clock and slow it down. There is also a power. It's a level. It's a level of power. You wait. Every 10 minutes, you remove 7 minutes. It's a level. But it's a protocol. Okay, let me add some gears. I'll just explain fast. I'll explain fast and then we'll move. I will use some scriptures to explain this level so that it can become graphic to you. If you study 1 Corinthians chapter 12, from verse 6 to verse 11, you will notice something. In fact, in verse 7, after the Bible revealed that it's the Holy Ghost that worketh these things in us, it began to show us some gifts of the Spirit. And for those of you who study the scripture in details, you are going to find out that these gifts are separated into 3 cadres. And you will know why everybody who has the Holy Ghost should function in the 9 gifts. But not everybody operates in the 9 gifts. Because it takes certain levels of energy to operate in the nine gifts. That's why before he spoke about the gift, he spoke about energio. In verse 7, he said, it is the Holy Ghost that energios this gift. And everybody who understands energy knows that energy is in levels. For those of you who are scientists that do something or have done something around electromagnetic radiation and all of that, you know that electrons are at different energy level. It looks the same uniform, but it's not so. That's how this power works. So when the Holy Ghost is energizing you, there are levels. And so when he gave us the nine gifts of the Spirit, he grouped them into three. As you begin to study from verse 8, let me show you something. He said, for to one is given the word of knowledge. He said, to another is given the word of, to one is given to the word of wisdom. He said, to another is given the word of knowledge. Now, when you study this, you are going to find out something. The word another, using between word of wisdom and word of knowledge, is allos. And allos means of the same kind. There's another word called hekteros. Hekteros means of a different kind. And so when he was talking about word of wisdom and word of knowledge, he grouped them as of the same kind. Now, between word of knowledge and the gift of faith, which is in the next verse, he didn't use allos. He now used hekteros. He said to another is given the word of knowledge. He now said to another, this time around, that another is no longer allos, it's hekteros, is given faith. That means faith and word of knowledge are different levels. Because remember, in verse 7, it said it's energy that is working. So these energies are in what? Levels. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom in one level. Then he started from faith. He now mentioned five other gifts until he came to discerning of spirits. Those five gifts he mentions there are all allos, 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 five times. Go and study your Bible. If you have a concordance, tap it. You will see allos, allos, allos. The moment he read discerning of spirits, he now migrated to diverse kinds of tongues. There is another between discerning of spirit and diverse kinds of tongue. That another is no longer allos, it's now hekteros. And so he spoke about diverse kinds of tongues and interpretation of tongues. So you will notice that diverse kinds of tongues and interpretation of tongues is one level. The next five gifts, which are the power gifts, faith, workings of miracles, healing, discerning of spirits, are a group. And then you come to the prophetic gifts, which is word of knowledge, word of wisdom, is another group, because the energies are different. If you now study Acts of the Apostles chapter 2, you will discover that the apostles were entering these gifts one by one. In Acts chapter 2, they began from the lowest energy. All of them were speaking in tongues. But as they began to journey, the next gifts that were unfolding, the Bible now began to specify the few individuals that were operating it. Because speaking in tongues is the lowest energy level. So when the Holy Ghost came, all of them were walking in it. But the moment they came into Acts chapter 3, Acts chapter 4, and the power gift were introduced, that was another energy level. Not all of them were operating in it anymore. The Bible began to specify. For example, it said Peter and John went to the place of prayer at the hour of prayer. That is Acts 10 now. Peter says, such as I have. It's not such as we have. In the speaking of tongues, all of us have it. But now that we are dealing with power, we are different. If you study Acts 4:33, he said he gave them great power. Acts 4:33. You now go to Acts 5. And the Bible said, Peter, Acts 5:15, was coming out of the place of prayer. He now said his shadow. He didn't say their shadow. It was Peter's shadow. Peter was not the only one that came out of prayer. All of them spoke in tongues. That's one level. But when they moved to the higher level, which is the power level, he said the shadow of Peter. This time around, is no longer group. When it has to do with tongues, everybody can speak in tongues. But when it has to do with power, there is something you do to come to a higher energy level. And so he said, only Peter's shadow was healing the sick. There were many persons the sun was hitting. There were many shadows that were on the road. But it was Peter's shadow that was healing the sick, because Peter had graduated to another energy level. And so all of them can speak in tongues, but few of them can operate power. And then you see the same Peter in Acts chapter 5, when Ananias came to lie to him. He said, why have you allowed Satan enter your heart? Why have you allowed Satan enter your heart? Peter is now functioning by word of knowledge. Peter is now functioning by discerning of spirits. It was no longer everybody. And so, if you don't know that power is in energy level, you will now be quoting Acts 1:8. After many days, you shall receive the Holy Ghost and power. You say, all of us have power. What do you mean? All of us have power. It's true. Come, let all of us go and cast out devils. All of us have power. This woman has cancer. Let all of us pray and see if all of us will address the cancer. All of us have power. This person's business is not working. Come with that power and speak. Let's hear the testimony. If the testimony doesn't come, it means we have power, but our levels in power is different. Because all of us have power, but our power is in different energy levels. There's an energy level where you manifest a power that is enough to light bulbs. There's another energy level where you emit power that can power gas cooker. So if your power level can only emit bulb, enjoy light. But when you want to eat food, you have to look for the man who can generate gas cookers to cook. This is why some believers go to other believers. Because if your power cannot fire up a gas cooker, you will have light. Nobody will argue. In the night, all of us will read books. But when we are hungry, not all of us will eat. And if you want to eat, you either learn how to increase your energy level to also power a gas cooker, or quickly look for the person who is already powering gas cooker. Let him give you food. Many people die of arrogance because they think we are all the same. In salvation, we are the same, but in kingdom, we are different. And one of the areas of difference are the power energy levels that we operate in. This thing I'm telling you is replete in scripture. You can find the signs here and there in the Bible. If you study the tabernacle, there are three sessions. The man who is in the outer court is not the same as the man in the inner court. It's not the same as the man in the Holy of Holies. The man in the outer court interacts with the sun. The man in the inner court interacts with the menorah. The man in the Holy of Holies interacts with the Shekinah. So if three of them tell you we saw light, they saw different things. One saw sun, another one saw God. They are different things. So the manifestations will be different. It will take certain engagements for you to upgrade your energy level. And so your Christian experience will be a frustration until you know what to do to begin to grow in power. The potential of power was given to everybody in the Holy Ghost, but it behoves you to now grow from one energy level to another energy level. Some believers are 20 years, they are still at the foundational level of power. And they come to church, they speak in tongues, they act bogus, but you don't find any genuine thing in their lives because they've not grown consciously in power. And so the first thing you must learn in the school of power is how to move from one energy level to another energy level. There is a power that creates basic change. There is a power that creates very serious change. And there is a power that creates specific change. If you enter any day, any time, it will respond to you. It's not luck. It's not chance. It's power. But that power or that manifestation operates at an energy level. And so, one of the things we'll be dealing with in order to grow your energy level in power is what I'll begin to deal with from next week's Bible study. But tonight, to also open us up a bit to dimensional operations of power. This is our introduction. Are we together? Are we together? Are some things beginning to make sense to you? When you travel, you see a lot of things. And it will humble you. A preacher can be talking and sweating for 1 hour, 40 minutes. And nothing is happening. He will step down. Another preacher will come up. And in 5 minutes, the hall will erupt. You are now wondering, God, are you biased? Meanwhile, this first preacher is saying, Holy Ghost, move. Holy Ghost, move. In the name of Jesus. He said everything correct. But there was no power. He will now go down another preacher will come up. See, for those of you also who are traveling ministers, you need to know what power is. As the person sits down, before he leaves the hall, the next person will just come up. As he carries the mic, he will just lift his hand. And suddenly the angels will wake up. You now wonder, where were they? People will start screaming. People will start prophesying. Healings will start taking place. The first person, is it not the word of God he preached? It's the word of God. But one spoke theology. Another one spoke power. And demons don't understand theology. They understand power. And so if you need victory in life, you must grow from one energy level to the other. Next week, I will teach how to migrate from one energy level to another energy level. Because there are energy levels in God. And then you have dimensions of power. Dimensions of power shows you how power operates. And I said I will use four to explain. I spoke about dunamis. I spoke about exousia. I spoke about kratos. And I spoke about iskus. When time is a limitation on you, there's so much to say, you don't even know which one you should say or stop. Not to worry. We'll deal with it deeper next week. Dunamis is the power to create change. There are many believers who trust in God, but they can't create change. And so they come to church faithfully, they serve God faithfully, but things are going wrong in their lives. And they are wondering, this person believes this thing. I also believe it. They even take time to begin to study their belief system, if it is their belief that is wrong. Sometimes it's not your belief that is wrong. It's the absence of power that is frustrating you. And so if you know how to cooperate with the power that creates change, you will see that your belief will begin to receive manifestation and substantiation. Are we together? So the power that creates change is a specific power. It's called dunamis. That power came to you when you received the Holy Spirit. In Acts 1:8, it said, not many days from now, you shall receive the Holy Ghost and power, and you shall be witnesses unto me. So the deposit of that power came to you when you received the Holy Ghost. However, it is a potential. If you want that power to begin to work, there is something you must do to engage it. And the Bible showed us clearly in James 5:16. It said, Elijah is a man subject to like passion, just as we are. He said, he prayed earnestly that it should not rain, and it rained not on the face of the earth for 3.5 years. He said, he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain. So what happened in the Old Testament was that when God wanted to create a change, God will now allow the anointing to come upon them. And so as they stir themselves up, they connect with that anointing and create a change. But in the New Testament, the anointing doesn't come upon us. It lives on our inside. And so we no longer create change when God comes. We create change when we want. And the only time that can work is when we stir that unction. This is why Ephesians 3:18 said, God is able to do exceeding abundantly according to the power that works on your inside. And the way to stir that power is what James 16 tells us. He said, is by what? Praying. By praying. This is why the moment we receive the Holy Ghost, the gift that accompanied it is tongues. And so you find many believers, they want to create change, but they are not praying in tongues. And so their faith is ready, but they don't see the result. I've seen many people who tell me they were bold, they were confident, they were not afraid, but they prayed for the deaf ear, it didn't open. Yes, you were not afraid, but you didn't have virtue. You have to generate virtue in the place of prayer. And as you are generating this virtue, you must be careful to know that thing you are confronting, make sure you have hit the energy level to address it. So it's not just to pray in tongues. It's to pray in tongues enough to be able to address what you are looking for. This is why we always encourage people to pray through. And that's why I tell people, don't pray with time. Pray into encounters. Pray into ascension. When you are praying and your tank is full, there are many indicators that show you. Number one is that you receive a note of victory. There's an assurance. Sometimes when you are praying, you're praying to prophecy. You start prophesying. What you've done is that you've stirred dynamics to a point where it can produce result. As you pray that prayer into prophecy, anything you say must happen because you've prayed through. But the challenge with dynamics is that it is momentary. Every time you want to use dynamics, you must stir it. Because dynamics is like, see the gen. As you power the gen, it brings light. If you off the gen, the light goes off. So if I'm going for a crusade, I can stir my spirit up for 2 hours, for 3 hours, and dynamics is generated. I go for that crusade, I pray for a blind person. If I wake up tomorrow morning, and if all I have is dynamics, and I see another blind person, fear will hit my heart. And if I go boldly and pray, the eye won't open. That's why some evangelists only manifest on crusade ground. There are many evangelists who see the dead on crusade ground rise. They see cripples walk. But the moment they come down from that platform, they become weak. They will never see any manifestation. The reason is because when they are going to the crusade ground, they pray through. And so they don't see any opposition. There's too much power. They can change things. But when that power is used up, they become normal like everybody. And so anybody who is walking dynamis must support dynamis with a foundation. The foundation of dynamis is called kratos. While in dynamis, you pray through. In kratos, you pray consistently. So you don't pray because you are going for a crusade. You pray because prayer is now your life. That's when kratos comes to work. So you see two kinds of people praying. There is one who prays to preach. There's one who prays when there is a problem. That person will be getting momentary victory. But the guy who prays as a lifestyle, challenges don't come around him. That guy does not fluctuate. He doesn't have one great manifestation today, and tomorrow he's at the lowest level of his life. His life is upward and forward only. Because as he prays and keeps praying, he begins to go to levels where he no longer descends. And so he remains at that level. And he prays until he steps into another level and he lives there. There are certain men who are more powerful when they wake up than an evangelist on the crusade ground. Because they have 10 years of consistent prayer. And so the energy level where they operate, if they say, it is well with you, it will be more potent than somebody who just came out of 3 days fasting. Because that person is generating power to address a situation. The other one is living in the realm of power. And so a Christian who wants to maximize power must know when to pray through, and he must also pray as a lifestyle. Bruce Lee made a statement, very profound. He said he's more afraid of a man who gives one punch in 1,000 days than a man who gives 1,000 punches in 1 day. There's one man who can punch 1,000 times in 1 day. There's another man who punches once every day for 1,000 days. The one who punches once every day for 1,000 days is more powerful than the one who punches 1,000 times in 1 day. This is why you find some believers, they say, we are going to the mountain. They pray in tongues for 40 hours. When they finish, they go on holidays. The next time they come for prayer is 4 weeks later. And they say, we are back here. We are back here. So their life is like this. The map of their life is zigzag. That day they prayed, any devil that comes, they roast that devil. That day they prayed, anything that is a challenge, they change it. 3 days later, they become like an ordinary person. And then you find another believer who wakes up every day praying in tongues for 30 minutes. Every day he prays in tongues for 30 minutes, his life will be going like this. And he will be going upward only because this one has stamina. Any challenge he meets, there's enough power bank to deal with it. So what do you do in order to operate in the power that creates change? Learn to pray through from time to time, but most importantly, learn to pray consistently. The man who prays through can create momentary change, but the man who prays consistently will always live a life of progress because there is enough power to change things. I'm showing you why people are calling upon the name of the Lord and it looks as if their God is not answering them. No! God answered us in Christ Jesus. We must work that mechanism through these technologies that he has made available. And so there is dynamis and there is also kratos. Dynamis is momentary, but kratos is eternal. Dynamis is operated when you pray through, but kratos is operated when you pray consistently.
And so you are a believer today, you want to walk in power, give yourself a simple schedule. Pray every day for 10 minutes. After a while, naturally, your capacity will grow. You want to pray for 10 minutes, you discover you prayed for 15 minutes. After a while, your capacity will grow. You want to pray for 15 minutes, you discover you pray for 30 minutes. A point will come, you will discover even the things you are not praying about to be happening. People will favor you, doors will open to you, you will not know why. Somebody will be sick, you won't even know. You just came to the house and touched the person. And when you left, the person noticed fever is gone. You were not consciously praying for the person. What you were doing is, you were just emitting power. This is how Jesus lived his life. In Mark 1:35, he said, daily, in the cool of the day, Jesus went to a solitary place. There, he prayed. Daniel practiced the same thing. Daniel 6:10, he said, every day, three times, Daniel prayed facing Jerusalem. You see why these men were powerful. Nothing took them unawares. A man who has dunamis can be taken unawares. In fact, he can leave a crusade ground and the devil will attack his house. Because the energy generated was for that crusade. He got results there, but the devil came with a reprisal attack. But the man who has Kratos, anytime you come around him, you are in trouble. Because there is more than enough power. He is not praying through. He has prayed through, but he's praying consistently. These two kinds of power is what gives you the perpetual ability to create change. And so if you are not creating change in your life, two kinds of power are lacking. Either dunamis is lacking or Kratos is lacking. And trust me, you will need changes every day because demons don't rest. The challenges of life, they don't have appointments. They come any day, anytime. And so you must be power ready if you want to live a victorious life. Don't say you were not told. All this hoping that God will intervene, is why many believers are falling into depression. Because God already intervened when he gave you the right to speak in tongues. As you start speaking in tongues, either for a long time to pray through or consistently, you are generating the power that is already on your inside. The Holy Ghost brought that power, but there's a mechanism for regulating it. When you pray through, you create momentary change, but when you pray consistently, your life becomes an evolution of progressive change. That is the first dynamic of power that a believer must understand. And if you begin to censor your life now, you can tell why some of the things you were looking for have not happened. Simple but powerful way of living. Many pastors are not praying. Many believers are not praying. Thank God for the corporate gathering. Thank God for the corporate prayer. But your life demands more than that. 90% of the corporate prayers have prayer points that don't concern you. You came for corporate prayer. They prayed for 5 hours. They are praying for the country. They are praying for the ministry. Sometimes they even pray for the man of God more than you. Meanwhile, you are the one laboring in prayer. So while you are yet doing that, you must build your own altar. That your own altar generates the power for your own destiny. We can donate money and buy fuel for man of God. What about your car? You can donate money and buy fuel and trek home. So while you are doing one, you must do the other in order to sustain a victorious life. The second dynamic or dimension of power is the power that operates through authority. This particular one is internal. It creates change, but it's inherent. There is another one that is authority-based. And even the authority-based power has two dynamics. One, which is exousia, is born out of revelation. That's why I called it a positional power. The moment you become aware of who you are in Christ, you begin to exercise authority. The moment you become aware of what Christ has done for you, you begin to function in exousia. That's why I said, as many as believe, to them he gave the exousia to become the sons of God. So these ones know what they believe. They know who they are in Christ. And so on the strength of that, they can make things happen. So it's not necessarily what they are feeling. It's not necessarily what they have generated, but it is based on the light that they see. And so a man can discover that in Christ, he's not supposed to be sick. And so on the strength of that light, he sees that health begins to spring out of his spirit. A man can discover that in Christ Jesus, he is made rich because Christ was made poor. Immediately, idea for wealth creation begins to spring forth. That revelation will empower him. But the challenge with exousia is that exousia works when the revelation hits you. And so when you are meditating on scripture, if a light comes to you, on the strength of that light, you can make something happen. When you are meditating on scripture, or you are even listening to a message, a bullet of light hits you, and on the strength of that light, you rise up. You can listen to a message and you just hear that none shall desire her mate. Immediately, you tell yourself, I can't be a spinster. And that revelation that comes will create your husband from wherever he is. He must appear. Because when you function in light, light has the power to produce results. In fact, the excellency of light is the fact that light shines in the darkness. So every time revelation comes, exousia is activated. Every time light comes, exousia is activated. And so a man who wants to continually walk in exousia must create an atmosphere where the proceeding word of God is constant. This is why Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Because every time you pick God's word, you enter authority. Every time you pick God's word, you enter authority. But see the challenge. There are many times when it will look as if you've gone blank. How many of you have been there? You are praying over the situation. Word is not coming. You are at that junction. You are trusting God. Word is not coming. And if word does not come, exousia can't work. Because exousia is tied to revelation. Now, you are walking through a season where no word is coming. And sometimes that season can be long. I don't know if it has happened to you. Me, it has happened to me. There are many seasons where you are waiting for an inspiration. You are waiting for a light. Nothing is coming. You hear messages, it's not coming. You are fasting, it's not coming. What will you do? Meanwhile, your authority is tied to your revelation. What do you now do? You need to go deeper. Because in addition to exousia, there's such a thing called iskus. Iskus is not tied to light necessarily, but it is tied to the degree of your submission to the authority that you are hoping light will come from. And so it's one kind of authority that comes from revelation, but the second dimension of authority comes from submission. That's why in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, from verse 3 to 5, he said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. He said, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. He said, they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high-standing thing that opposes itself above the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity all things to the obedience of Christ. He now gave us the key. He said, when your obedience is complete, then you shall avenge other disobedience. There are many persons who operate exousia, but they are still defeated. Because there are times when principalities war against you. Your revelation may be accurate, but your life is wrong. And so there's an authority that you will need to wield that is beyond revelation. When the devil came to Jesus, both Jesus and the devil knew he was the Son of God. But he didn't fight them based on revelation. He fought them based on life. He said, the prince of this world cometh to me and findeth nothing. There are many believers quoting scriptures everywhere and they are dying. They are declaring. They have the power of God. Things are still going wrong. Because the guy who is declaring is living in immorality. The guy who is declaring never submits to the authority of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost picks one, he's doing another. And then when crisis comes, he will quickly pick one scripture like a dagger. And when he throws that scripture 1,000 times, he will miss target. Because there are certain authority that is superior to revelation. If that revelation is true, your life will first of all be submitted to it. And so while exousia comes by revelation, iskus comes by submission. And so in the day when words don't come, character and track record will become a weapon. That is the day when the devil will truly be defeated. But if character and track record is not there, even if you have that revelation, many times you'll be defeated. Because when the legalistic spirits come, they know what you will do that will make you become the enemy of yourself. And so a man who wants to grow in authority must hold exousia on one hand and carry iskus on another hand. Exousia comes by revelation of the finished works of Christ. We taught a lot of it last 2 weeks. When I was talking about righteousness, talking about sanctification, we showed you a lot of things. But on another hand, you must come under obedience. Because it's when your obedience is complete that you will avenge other disobedience. The dimensions of power insist that you pray and pray through for dunamis to work. The dimensions of power insist that you must pray and pray consistently for Kratos to work. the dimensions of power insist that you must have the right revelation in order to operate in authority. And above all, the dimensions of power insist that the authority you trust in, you must first of all submit to. Because if you are not submitted to that authority, you don't have the legal right to wield that authority. This is why, although power is the inheritance of the saints, but very few saints are walking in it. We talk about it, we preach it, we boast about it, but the manifestations of our life shows that we don't even know the ABC of it. The guy is talking boldly about divine health, whereas he's suffering from a terminal disease. He's talking boldly about favor, talking boldly about influence, talking boldly about taking over. Yet, the very house he's living in, he's about to be kicked out. And he doesn't know what to do to take over. Because these things, they are there, but they must be walked. And you must walk each and every dimension. There is a problem you will confront that you need to pray through. And so, if you know what is good for you, you must build capacity to be able to pray through. I was speaking to a doctor friend the other day, and he said they were in the theater until 3 a.m. in the morning. That is a dynamis kind of power. There are certain things that will confront you that you need to stand and pray in tongues for 3 days. And so if you don't have the capacity to pray through, you will not generate the power to deal with that problem. You may have a great destiny, but one momentary attack will bury that destiny. Because that destiny demanded dynamis, and you didn't have the capacity to generate it. Whereas there are other destinies that are battles of attrition. They come every 1 week. For that kind of battle, you don't pray through. You pray consistently. So anytime it comes, you are ready. And so if you don't have a prayer life, there are certain battles that will bury a great destiny. And on the other side, as touching authority, there are revelations you need to have to be able to walk through life. And so if poverty comes, a light shines out of your spirit. If health attack comes, a light shines out of your spirit. If people reproach comes, a light shines out of your spirit. And in case that light does not come, there is a support structure called Iskus. Because you have been too submitted to authority for the jealousy of God to allow you to sink. And so even though no revelation is coming, God won't let you. He can bypass a nation to save you. He can bypass a million people to save you. Because he vouched for you that you are a servant of God. It was Iskus that delivered Job. He said, "Have you found my servant Job?" This one is obedient. And so even while Job was in the valley and he couldn't hear the voice of God, Job had already lived a kind of life. He said, "I have a covenant with my eyes that I will not look upon the virgins." He had lived a life of total surrender to God, that even the darkest hour of his life. See, there are even times when you say things that should destroy you. Because the reason Job was attacked was because of what he said. He said, "The things I fear have befallen me." So Job was the one who broke the hedge. But even though Job countered revelation, there was a life of submission. Too robust for God to forget Job. And the Bible said, God remembered Job. There will be a time when God will remember you because of your dogged loyalty to God. This is why you cannot afford to take that bribe. Because if you take that bribe, it will counteract your 10-hour tongues. This is why you cannot afford to indulge in that fornication. You will indulge in that fornication, although you know all the finished works of Christ. You know all the promises of the New Testament. When you start quoting them, the devil will ask, "Who is talking? Is it you? Do you believe in the God you are talking about? Are you sure this God is powerful? Because this God told you to do this, you refused. Are you sure you believe what you are saying? Because the sign that you believe is that you will submit to it." So how do you invoke a God that you despise? How do you invoke the power of a God that you have rebelled against? For Jesus to operate in Iskus, he said, "The prince of this world cometh to me and findeth nothing." If Christians don't understand how power works, they will be in possession of the greatest power, yet they will be victims. And I can assure you, if you took a census of the percentage of Christians that are victims, you will weep. Go to the hospital, check the register, find out in 1 year how many Christian names appear there. You'll be amazed. They are in their hundreds. They are in their thousands. I'm not saying if you are sick, there's something wrong. No, we are all growing. But I'm saying there's a level where you get to and you walk as Christ walked. And one of the ways you can walk as Christ walked is to begin to tap into power at the same frequency that Christ tapped into. Christ walked in dunamis. Christ walked in kratos. Christ walked in exousia. And Christ walked in iskos. And you too can walk in the same dimensions of power. But it will take certain requirements. And these requirements are praying through, praying consistently, tapping into revelation through meditation, and submitting yourself in obedience to God. Bow your heads, let's pray. Our prayer tonight is simple. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. When you are a young believer, you will be so happy about revelation because you think revelation is enough. There must be a balance. That's why when people become mature, they don't talk much. They obey much. Because they know that iskus is superior to exousia. When you are a young believer, you will brag about your stamina in long prayers. But when you become mature, you make prayer a lifestyle. Because the mature believer knows that kratos is superior to dunamis. So tonight, ask him to help you. So where you need to pray through, let there be strength. And then to have a prayer life, which is the base of the power that creates change, let it be robust. And then where you need revelation, let the voice of God not be scarce. He said in the days of Eli, he said the voice of God was cast and there were no open visions. Ask God that for you, let the proceeding word be common. And then over and above that, ask for the capacity to stay under government. We compromise too much. And we want to handle power. The same power that angels are wielding is the power you want to handle. Help her, please. There are two things God will do now. The first is to break the hedge that the devil created around destinies. Some of you, the devil has created boundaries that you will never cross. He said, try, if you like, go and get 10 certificates. You thought it's because you didn't have enough certificates. Have 3 PhD, you will still not cross. Because it doesn't take paper, it takes power. And so there is a power that is about to be released now to break limitations. The hedge of the devil that frustrates all your efforts, that frustrates all your input, that frustrates all that you do. Yeshua. Yeshua, Yeshua. Towards me, it will come on you like a fire, like a ball of fire, and it will begin to burn chains and break chains. Father, everyone that the devil has created boundaries around, limitations, now I stretch my hands by the Spirit. And I decree, let the chains break now. Let the chains break now. Let the chains break now. Just open your hands and receive. You don't need to do anything. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Ushers, just help three people that the fire of God will touch quickly. That's just a sign. There are three of them quickly that the power of God will come upon. Strong. Strong. It will be strong upon them. One, two, three. Take that fire. Help them. Help them. Help them. Help them. The chains are breaking. The limitations are breaking. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Now, some of you, you have fought battles that they've wearied you. As I'm talking to you now, you don't even know if you trust God. You are just coming to church because you were born coming to church. But when they talk about things of God, you tell yourself, it's where, it's where. Because the battle, it has lasted for long. The battle of attrition is meant to weary you until you lose your faith in God. But now God wants to uproot long-standing battles. Long, long-standing battles. You have been in it for 5 years, for 7 years, for 10 years, on ground, online. Father, from the foundation, from the foundation, from the foundation, we command those forces, shatter, 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 from the foundation, from the foundation. You can imagine somebody who is so gifted yet rejected for 10 years. Somebody so intelligent, best certificates, best qualification, yet rejected. Now we break those powers. We break those powers. We break those powers. Let them go. Let them go. Beautiful but can't marry. Powers of darkness from the roots of foundations. We break their forces now. Let them go. Thank you, Father. Hear this. Some of you, this week, before this week is over, somebody will just dash you money. It's not about the amount. It's a sign. And at least 10 of you will have that experience. This is not your brother, your uncle. These are not regular people that give money. They will just dash you from nowhere. Some will call you from a distance and ask for your account details and dash your money. It's a sign that the siege is broken. And when that happens, I want to hear those testimonies. So don't keep it. Come and share it. Because when you declare it, you activate a force that insists it must happen. Sorry for taking our time tonight. I just had to do these basics. So when I'm talking on other things, I'll be sure. The Lord keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance over you. And the Lord give you peace. You're going out and coming in is blessed. This week, God's favor will distinguish you. And the operations of the Holy Ghost in and around your life will be loud. Loud enough for people to know that something supernatural is happening. So let it be established. In Jesus' name.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.